Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, July 7th, 2015. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. And it's great to have you here.
Good morning, Jeff. I am good. Nice to be here.
Awesome. Good morning to you. Yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting show because pretty much what's going to happen is I'm going to let you run wild with your opinions.
Don't I always?
Well, yes, but you always run wild in the most gentlemanly of ways. And when I say always, I mean usually, because now that I think about it, the only times we've actually had to censor anything in the show, it's been from you.
Well, you know, I can get wound up.
At times. But that's okay. That's one of the many reasons why I love you. And, okay, so what I thought we could take a look at first is the report that's come out that Apple is taking more control over packaging of third-party products in Apple stores. And just to give people a little bit of background, Apple for quite a while, for several years, has exerted some control over product packaging for products that come from other companies. And this control, it applies to packaging for products that are sold through the Apple Store. So it's not like someone can just blister pack something and throw it at Apple and say, here you go. There are packaging standards that Apple has. So this isn't new. What is new is that Apple is taking the next step in this process and is now working with third-party peripheral and accessory manufacturers for very tight control over exactly what that packaging is going to be, like down to the color of the packaging, the types of information call-outs that are on the packaging. So pretty much what's going to happen is you go into an Apple store and you know the white packaging with colored product that you see for Apple products, like if you buy an iPhone or a MacBook Air, you're going to see that same style of packaging for third-party products.
And as you may have suspected, this concerns me a little bit. When I look at the Apple stores right now, I see fine products, and they pretty much have their own branding and their own way of packaging and presenting their product in accordance with their own desires to brand and present their product. And I think there's nothing in the Apple stores that I have ever seen in the last few years, maybe forever, that made me think Apple was using poor judgment about what products to present in the store. But this recent report gives me pause and worries me that Apple's trying to exert too much control, blurring the distinction between their products and third-party products, or trying to wedge the developers into a special kind of concession. You have to look like an Apple product. You have to be like Apple. You have to package like Apple. Now, I can see quality standards, clarity of type, quality of the material and the packaging. You don't want to use the old plastic sandwich bags like, you know, the days of old, or awesome, awful blister packs. But those quality standards can be set in my mind in such a way that the package is presentable and clear for sales. And I think Apple, a company that celebrates diversity, should be trying to instead enforce uniformity, celebrate the diversity of the products that they sell. And that means letting the companies within these certain minimum standards of quality presentation and packaging shine their own light and be themselves and be diverse and show their products in their own way. That's my feeling right now.
Yeah, my concern is that Apple is stripping away brand recognition from products that they don't make.
Exactly.
And exactly. I mean, like when I walk into an Apple store today, And apparently this is going to change in a few days. But when I walk into an Apple store today, I can just look across the shelves and I have a pretty good idea of what I'm looking for based on product packaging. So I know that if I want to go and look for different types of headphones, I just look for those black boxes. And like for Beats headphones, those are really easy to pick out on a shelf. They have packaging that looks nice and really stands out, but in a good way. That's going to change.
Right.
And for certain case manufacturers and other accessory manufacturers like Belkin, if I went to a Wemo product, for example, I know exactly what to look for. There's this white and green with a little bit of gray coloring that they have on all their packaging. And so I know it's a Wemo whatever switch, whether I'm in an Apple store or if I'm in Home Depot, or it doesn't matter what the store is. I know what it is that I'm looking at. So now companies are going to have multiple packaging strategies, their Apple packaging and their packaging for everywhere else. And that's hard for brand recognition, I think.
It's also bad for developer relations. You know, Apple depends on its developers. It celebrates its developers throughout the year and at WWDC. And Apple's principal motive for WWDC is to communicate to developers that they have a good business case for working with Apple and not some other competitor. Say, you work with us, you develop products for us, you will be prosperous. And now all of a sudden, Apple's telling these developers, you have to spend extra money, bend over backwards, look like us, be like us, lose your brand identity in order to be in our stores. And that's a problem. And then I can imagine confusion, as you mentioned, on the part of the customers, where they buy this white box and they bring it back. Or they write a nasty gram to Apple and say, I didn't like your product. And they look at the fine print and they realize, oh, it's from somebody else. They try to return it and the conditions for return might be different or something like that. So it just has a bad taste in my mouth. Apple's overreaching here.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a weird move. And it just, it's not sitting well with me. I really like the idea of seeing diversity in product packaging in the stores. And like you said, the old sandwich bag routine, I remember going into computer stores back in the day and seeing sandwich bags with a little printed card, printed card, stapled to it.
I sold my Apple II software that way. I mean, that was the way you did it for a while until the big guys came along and started producing these fancy boxes. But that was the thing.
Okay, that's one of the things that I think is so cool about you. You have been involved in the Apple world long enough that you really sold software.
Yeah, it was the Space Shuttle Landing Simulator for the Apple II.
Yeah. Okay, anyone remember the Space Shuttle Landing Simulator? Because you're listening right now to the guy that wrote it. And I remember it. That was a really cool thing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I never owned a copy myself, but then again, I was so broke all the time. But I did go over to a friend's house, and we would play it together on his Apple II Plus that he had hacked with all kinds of stuff to really soup it up into a hardware machine.
Awesome. I wrote part of that in assembly language because BASIC wasn't fast enough.
Well, that makes sense because BASIC had to compile on the fly and assembly didn't.
Right.
Yeah, good times. Oh, man. I love that game. Yeah. Anyhow, I got sidetracked with some awesome nostalgia there. There's another thing that I wanted to talk about today, too, which actually has me kind of annoyed a little bit, but at the same time not, because there's good and bad in this for me. So Eddie Q responded to a tweet question that someone posed to him, and what they were asking was when home sharing music streaming would come back to iOS devices, and this question was brought on because when iOS 8.4 came out and Apple Music launched, the ability to stream music through home sharing to an iOS device was pulled. So you can't you can't listen to your library from your iPhone anymore. And by library, I mean the library that's on your Mac. So that has a lot of people disappointed because that's something they were using. And so the question was posed to Eddie Q on Twitter, is this something that is going to come back? And he replied on Twitter saying, we're working on it for iOS 9. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but what he said in his statement, it was very well crafted. The message was, we're working on it. We'll see if we can have it in iOS 9, but I'm not making you any guarantees. Now, when we wrote about this, what we wrote was in line with what Eddie Q actually said. And I think it's great that this feature may be coming back. However, the problem I'm having, John, is that I've seen so many other news outlets that are jumping to conclusions, and they're reporting that Eddie Q has confirmed that home sharing is coming back in iOS 9. And so that's a problem for me. So I guess there's two things here that I'm looking at. One is that Twitter has essentially at this point become the de facto platform for Eddie Q to interact with the public. And two, we have media outlets that are misrepresenting what he said.
Well, not only did they misrepresent what he said, but there are sites that are continuing to bang on Apple for removing it in the first place without consideration of the fact that perhaps it may have been a rights issue with how that streaming music is then further streamed to other devices. There have been some sites that have gone into a little bit of detail about that and said, well, considering how Apple Music works, it's understandable that Apple had to back off on this. What I have heartburn with is that Apple introduces something that they have great enthusiasm for, and in fact, agenda for, and then that percolates down to the situation where they have to, by contract, remove certain features. And then it's gone, and then the websites that follow Apple bang on Apple about it. Customers complain. Apple doesn't explain why it had to happen. We're all left kind of confused about it. It worked at one point. So when Eddie Q says we're working on it, my conclusion is that we're working on the rights management, not the technology of streaming, which they already knew how to do. So it's really kind of a mess. And my overall feeling is that Apple and Eddie Q took so much heat over the loss of this because they didn't explain why it had to be removed and what you can do in compensation. Just created a bad situation. And so Eddie felt politically compelled to come out with some sort of assuaging comment like, you know, okay, relax, we're working on it, in order to calm people down. And he's calmed people down so well that now they've gone too far at the other edge of the pendulum saying, well, it's a done deal. So Apple can't seem to win.
No. It's no matter what Apple does, it's going to get misconstrued in some way in the media. But to be fair, it's not just Apple that has to deal with this. This happens with so many companies and public personalities. This is something that happens all the time. But it is frustrating in this case because we have a feature that was taken away, and we didn't get an explanation as to why. We still don't have an explanation as to why.
Right. And it's probably the number one complaint about Apple Music, too. I've seen a lot of stories about people who have had their metadata and their libraries mangled. I saw a story yesterday at Mac & In about how server-based or RAID-based or network storage, network-attached devices serving up Apple iTunes on the network can be mangled, but these reports are scattered. They're not uniformly consistent. What's uniformly consistent is the absolute loss of home sharing for everyone, and I'm betting that's the one thing that Apple's getting the most heat about.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that that Eddie Q took to Twitter to address this simply because there are a lot of people that are upset about losing that feature.
Right.
Yeah. Now, all right, I'm going to sidetrack just a little bit, but it's still kind of on topic. So over the past few days, we've had several topics on TDO where we're bagging on different Apple Music features. And I'm afraid that it's sounding like I think Apple Music sucks. And that is not the case. I'm actually really pleased overall with Apple Music. I'm loving the new new playlists that I'm getting through the For You feature. It's as if someone sat down with me and said, "Okay, look, Jeff, let's go through all these different songs and albums and artists, and I'm just going to write down everything that you really like." And then they took that and then put it together with new stuff for me that they think I would like. And it turns out I do, except occasionally I get a Justin Bieber song and I'm so not into Bieber. But other than that, I mean, wow, it's really awesome. And I'm really happy overall with Apple Music. And so anyhow, I just had to get that out there because I'm afraid that I may have been creating the impression that I don't like Apple Music at all, and that is certainly not the case.
Well, I have tried listening to Beats One, and it's too much like conventional radio for me, and that's something I got away from years ago and, you know, designing my own playlist. The other thing I'm having trouble with is custom radio stations, where they're easy to create but impossible to delete, like you could in iTunes 12.1.2, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I do hope that we get more control over those stations and playlists that we're creating that way.
Right.
Because I loved the ability to really refine those, and it feels like those fine-tuned controls are gone. Now, what I'm guessing is that there's one of two reasons for it. Because Apple wants us to listen to the curated playlists and stations that they're creating, so they take away the ability for us to fine-tune our own, or they found that people really aren't using the feature, so they took it away.
Yeah, that's a perpetual problem with Apple. Apple has software in the operating system that can report back on your usage if you permit it. We've written about how to turn that on and turn that off. So Apple has a pretty good idea what people are doing. But if you develop a feature that people aren't using, it's on one hand, it's not fruitful to pour software development resources into it. But on the other hand, if you've got a feature that a certain percentage of the customers are using and like, and they don't think they like something new, we feel sometimes Apple's being a little draconian and saying, no, we're not going to give you a choice. No, you can't keep on doing what you've come to like. We figure you're not using part of this, not so much. And we've got this new thing, and so we're going to strangle the old thing and force you over to the new thing. And that's kind of an annoying agenda in many cases, too.
It is. And yet, overall, I'm really happy with Apple Music.
I am, as we mentioned yesterday, not a test subscriber yet. I'm going to wait a little longer and avoid perhaps having some of my files scrambled or mangled and kind of see how that works out. I'm sure there'll be some fix-ups, and then I can jump on the trial period and be happy, pleased as punch. Meanwhile, I'm enjoying, as usual, my custom radio stations, which I like to do. And I'm enjoying playing my music with even iTunes 12. Generally, it's good. I think Apple has some wrinkles to work out, and I think they've gotten a black eye for some of the file corruption issues. But we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. All right. And we're out of time.
Oh, no.
Yes. So, John, thank you so much for being here today.
It was a pleasure. Nice talking to you.
It's always great to get to talk with you, and I always love getting your insight on whatever it is that interests me at the moment. So, yeah, thank you for being here. And listeners, thank you for joining us. I just love that you're every single day, and that you feel comfortable interacting with me, too. So let me know what you think. about today's topics, and head over to the iTunes store and rate the show for me, because first, it's great to have feedback, and second, when you're rating the show, you are making it easier for other people to find us too and join in on the fun. So hey, please go do that. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.